time. As promised, Mayor Chad Vyshynski in studio this morning. I've been asking for your texts, for questions. We're going to get to those in a moment. Mayor, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you here. I saw your video. You shared after walking the kids back to school. How's the first week of school been in your household?
Couple days in, so far so good. Just getting back into the routine and
no complaints. They were happy with their teacher. Their friends were in the same class.
Everything went pretty good on our end. So yeah, the kids are pretty happy. It's just the routine, right?
What has dad actually helped prepare in the lunches? Like, what do you send your kids off to school with in a lunch?
I'm way less creative than my wife. I'm definitely the wow butter and jelly sandwiches and yeah.
They say the hottest item is the bento box.
Yes.
Do your kids have that?
Yep, 100%.
Yeah. Well, you got to do better. You got to do better when it comes to lunch there, at least, will you? You recovered from the Labor Day Classic. I know you were going with your family. What did you think of that weekend?
Oh, it was unbelievable. Yeah, what an electric environment that we saw. Obviously, an amazing outcome. And yeah, it was just great. It was great environment. So loud, so excited. And it was great to
think
be
they'll win this
in.
Weekend too.
I think they will. Yeah. I think you and I were talking a little bit off air. I think we got to break that curse.
Since 2018, they haven't won in Winnipeg there too. And you had a nice moment with someone from Halifax who was visiting on the long weekend because of the Nationals, the canoe and kayak championships were on at Wascana Lake, and you bumped into someone there.
Yeah, I bumped into someone that came up, recognized me in a restaurant, and actually. Was raving about how well the event was organized, how amazing the city was. Just couldn't say enough great things, which I think highlights all the things that we all know.
Let's hope they spread the word, bring a little more action to the city. Hey, I got to turn to city matters now, starting with this low water situation. You're asking everyone to voluntarily, perhaps take a shorter shower this morning. By the way, did you shower or skip it?
A shorter shower, like you said.
Good,
yeah,
good.
Quick.
Well, Regina Moose Jaw being asked to conserve because of a power outage at the plant that's lowered the overall water capacity. Are we concerned about this? Could it turn mandatory?
Right now, the latest update I got, it looks like we're starting to make headway on getting some flow going the way it should be here. So I'm quite hopeful that we're going to see those lift in the next day or two here. So really appreciate folks jumping on the voluntary restrictions as best we can. It looks like we're heading the right direction.
So it's just a power outage. It's not like something that's going to be a little more costly in having to repair.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was, I don't know all the technical details, but yeah, it sounds like a power outage that disrupted operations.
All right. Let's get to some of these texts from our listeners. Jane says, you've had 11th Avenue shut down since April. She says businesses are struggling to stay open, even closing due to lack of accessibility. When will it end? She also feels unsafe still walking in downtown Regina, feels harassed at times. Let's start with the 11th Avenue part of that question. When's it going to end?
Yeah, I know we've seen the, I think from Lorne to Albert open up. So we've seen that portion from, I think, the utilities, other utilities, some of the Crowns that were doing some work in there open up. And then I know we're coming to the, tail end of the work of that broad to Lorne. And yeah, I appreciate it is frustrating. It's blocking normal access and view of businesses downtown. I know the crews and the setup that we have, we're trying to get through it as quick as we can, but I have to reiterate how important it is we get this work done, especially with the underground infrastructure that's over 100 years old.
Jane, referring to how she doesn't feel safe in downtown Regina, you must hear that a lot. What do you say to her?
To be honest, I'm hearing there is a bit of a shift. And I know one of the things that we've seen is some good feedback from the alternative response officers downtown. They've been connecting with businesses directly, understanding where, maybe some of the challenges that they're seeing are happening around downtown. And there is a bit of a shift where we're seeing, just a concerted effort downtown to make sure that people feel safe and they have a presence alternative response officers and police officers, addressing issues that may come up. So, I appreciate that that's kind of where our baseline is right now. But I think that we are headed in the right direction.
Mayor Chad Vyshynski, my guest. Another text here from Sean. He feels hit hard by city taxes. Says the taxes in his household went up 23.5%. He wonders what council's future plan is to slow this from happening. Can you assure Sean property taxes won't be escalating any further, Mr. Mayor?
Well, we haven't seen anything yet, but once we get a handle on that, obviously our budget deliberations are in December, but we are taking a new approach this year. So this year we're going to be going along that journey with administration. They're going to come with essentially a financial forecast, and from there, council will be able to ask questions of administration to understand where different costs of services and service levels are. So we'll be able to take that information. Every council member have the opportunity to, create amendments or, ask for changes to, and throughout that budget process that's actually spanning a number of months now instead of, just over the course of a week. So, and I can't guarantee what the ultimate number is at the end of the day because we haven't started yet. But what I can tell you is that we're implementing a more robust process to, one, be more transparent to both council and the public through administration, and to give us more time to figure out what options we do have to make sure that we have the right service levels for our residents.
All right. Daryl texts something similar. Sean, he's concerned about the increase in taxes. Another, what is it, $30 additionally, likely next year?
Yeah, annually, I think it was about $30 annually average household. I think you're talking about the water network expansion project. Yeah. So that's a piece of critical infrastructure that we have to put in order to grow the city. In order to have appropriate water volume and pressure, we need that.
But he is also concerned about the report you're waiting for from administration about setting up a tent encampment in a certain area. First, who would be in charge of such an area?
So I'll maybe take a step back because that report is asking for a jurisdictional review of what other municipalities are doing. So that was put forward by Councillor Flores, I believe, and there was a number of items in there asking to look at different things that may or may not be happening across the country. So the idea is that we get a good jurisdictional review to see what does and does not work and take that to inform us as to what we should be doing in terms of our encampment strategy. So it's not saying that we are doing that. It's saying that we want to see what that looks like.
So what's your personal stance on that for an encampment?
I want to know what others are doing. I want to know what's working, what's not. I'm not someone that takes a personal opinion stance. I want the information and the data to show what works.
Do you think about who would look after, though, if there was an encampment, and who would the onus be on?
That's another question that we'll have to ask to see what that looks like. But, to your point, we would have to find someone that can manage that if that was in fact the case. But I don't know what that looks like. I mean, it would have to be someone that can offer the services that are required of the folks in that current situation, which we know can be quite vast and varied, because no one person is, has the same challenges as another.
How is your training for the Queen City Marathon going?
Good enough for how far I'll be running. So
you'll be there this weekend?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be running with my daughter in the mini marathon, and the whole rest of the family will be running in some capacity.
Mayor Chapuscinski, always great to have you in the show. Thanks for taking my questions.
Awesome. Thanks. In the middle of the
night, I go walking in my sleep. Well, I always remember my buddy Thomas over there at Memories telling me the story of how he came to Canada wearing an Armani suit, a white Armani suit, showed up in Regina, opened up business, and Giorgio Armani, the Italian designer, has passed away. We're just hearing in news from fashion. He was 91. So if you're wearing anything Armani, gentlemen, today, it's in salute to the master himself, who has passed away at the age of 91. Just a reminder, the Hospitals Regina Foundation is opening up the grand prize show home in the Creeks for me tomorrow morning. I'll be on location all day long, starting at 5:30 with a show in that $1.7 million home. It's their most valuable home yet. It comes with $50,000 if you win it. Built by Ripplinger, again in the Creeks on Fieldstone Way. I hope you pop by tomorrow and get your ticket ahead of the VIP prize deadline, which is midnight. So they've not yet given away any prizes, but the first big one will be awarded after midnight tomorrow night. So why wouldn't you get a ticket before? So you're in all the winning. So drop by the Creeks tomorrow and visit me there in person. I'd love to sell you a ticket and show you around that home. I had a sneak peek at it. It is gorgeous. More than 4,400 square feet, I believe. It's huge. Riders preparing for the Bombers in Winnipeg this weekend. The Bombers have won 13 of their Banjo Bowls compared to the Riders 7. And CJME Rider reporter Britton Gray joining me now from practice yesterday. I guess they were, what, pumping in audio to make it sound a little loud at Mosaic?
Yeah, they were. They know what that environment's going to be like. Trevor Harris described it as going into a hornet's nest. DeMarcus Hardrick said it's a madhouse. It's going to be loud there, and that's really what's helped made Winnipeg so good for so long, is that environment out there. And that has not been a friendly place for the Riders. They haven't won there since 2018 when Zach Collaros was the quarterback here. So it's been tough, but hey, this is a Riders team that's been able to find ways to win in tough situations, so we'll see if they can do it again.
All right, that was the first day back from the big Labor Day Classic victory. What did you notice on the sidelines? Who was walking about, or was there any injury status update at all?
No update. It was really a walkthrough more than anything. It wasn't too intense of a practice, as they already prepared for Winnipeg once, right? You can kind of take a little bit easier in terms of on-field stuff, more about just getting ready for the game plan and everything. And on the sidelines, Sam Emlis, Keen Schaefer-Baker, Thomas Fertrand Houdon have all been kind of there for a little bit now. They're getting closer and closer. But the new one was Philippe Gagnon was out there. Of course, he was one of the big free agent signings this past offseason, offensive lineman. He was out there for the first time, kind of doing some running and stuff. Don't know how close that puts him, but it's a good sign that maybe he can return this year now that he's been doing some work along the sideline.
Okay, and just to maybe we just put this to rest, because I think we got a final answer out of the coach on the Brett Lauther situation. But I just want to backtrack a little, because we all remember this from the game.
And he's going to punt it, and a good one it is, for Harris as Nichols takes it down at the goal line and then gets tackled in the end zone.
Yeah, the little punt there from Trevor Harris had a lot of people wondering, okay, was that a good idea? It could have turned out worse. And did he do that because Brett Lauther, he just didn't have enough faith? The coach kind of seemed to react to that question yesterday. What did he say?
Yeah, he said it's not really a loss of faith. That was the situation they thought what they would have, and I guess they plan to do that at some point, which, sure, with your 39-year-old quarterback, I guess you can throw some teams off if you need it. It was kind of an answer on Brett Lauther, but kind of not. Corey Mace did admit that in terms of on the field, hasn't been up to the standard, but there is some improvement being shown. Not 100%, but getting better.
Sorry, Britton, just to take it a little step further and then maybe get your reaction, Green Zone analyst Errol Davis directly asked the coach if he's lost faith in Brett.
We've asked lots of times, how many chances does he get?
Until we see that he doesn't, but hopefully it doesn't come to that.
So be it. Coach is standing by him, and it's either going to, as I said, be a great redemption story or what were you thinking story for the coach here. He's sticking his neck out, I think, pretty big time, isn't he?
He gave the answer. He's our kicker until he isn't, right? Well, they don't want to make the move. Obviously, they want to allow Brett to kick through it. But if he starts missing big kicks, if he loses a game, then you have to make the change. And there is a kicker here with Campbell Fair, so they don't have to bring someone in. So they'll keep giving Brett Lauther the chances, but we'll have to wait and see if he eventually loses them a game or not. That might be what needs to happen before they make a change, which hasn't happened.
Well, personally, I think the change should have been made and put him on the practice roster. But you know what? I like Brett Lauther. I like Coach Mace. Mm-hmm. So be it. I'm done talking about this. We're just going to let it all unfold now. But Mr. Britton Gray, what will happen for our Riders here? What's going through today and taking it into Winnipeg this weekend? What's the process now?
They'll have their closed practice today, and then they'll get everything ready. It's a short week, so they travel tomorrow. The depth chart will be released tomorrow. I don't expect too many changes. And then just go out there and try and win in Winnipeg, right? You can win the season series if you win. So it's a short week, not a ton of time to prepare on the field. But as like I said, you've already prepared for them once. You kind of know what they like to do and what the game plan maybe is.
All right, Britton. Thanks for checking in this morning, as always. Great job.
Not a problem.
Well, if you missed it, you're supposed to take a little shorter shower today. But for how much longer? Mayor Chad Baczynski was on the show a short time ago, and I asked him about how Regina Moosejaw are being asked to conserve because of a power outage at the plant that's lowered the overall water capacity. And how concerning this might be, and are we close to declaring it mandatory or not?
The latest update I got, it looks like we're starting to make headway on getting some flow going the way it should be here. So I'm quite hopeful that we're going to see those lift in the next day or two here. So really appreciate folks jumping on the voluntary restrictions as best we can. But it looks like we're heading the right direction.
That's the latest from the mayor. So yeah, it doesn't sound like we're going to get a mandatory conservation going here yet, but that's the very latest. All right, the NFL season tonight starts with the Cowboys riding into Philly to take on the Eagles. Lots of excitement over the new season. Of course, on the Green Zone, Jamie and Locker had CFL-NFL insider Dave Naylor on. They were going over the AFC, analyzing, and Mr. Naylor thinks the Chiefs are the team to beat in the AFC.
Look, I think they have to be because they went back to the Super Bowl last year. They still have Patrick Mahomes. They've played without a dynamic offense for a number of years, so that's not new. You figure the offense is probably only going to be a little more big play than it's been in the last few years. And the defense is basically the same personnel back under the same coordinator. The part against them, and this is one of those things where you're betting against the extreme and that I mean the one-score game thing. Yes, they're a great situational football team. Yes, Patrick Mahomes makes great decisions with the game on the line. But the complete serendipity of their victories, one after another, I don't think can repeat itself. I'm going to say they are still the team to beat, but I will be less surprised this year if the Chiefs are not the team standing in the Super Bowl representing the AFC than I would have been in any of the more recent years. Yeah, so I'm saying still the team to beat, but beatable.
All right. And Denzel Washington, the actor, a big Dallas Cowboys fan. I saw him on Jimmy Kimmel. He's promoting a new movie, Highest to Lowest. Kimmel asked him about Jerry's recent trade.
And I know you're a big Dallas Cowboys fan.
Do you feel Jerry Jones is doing a good job running the team?
Let me tell you, Highest to Lowest is a great movie.
That's what I feel.
Yeah, he got pretty wound up last week about it. One other thing out of that interview I thought was cool is how we've been mispronouncing Denzel Washington's name, all thanks to his mom.
Did you know that there are currently four players named Denzel in the NFL?
I know.
Before your
There's a lot of Denzels now.
There weren't that many before your first Oscar. There were zero in 1987.
And this is how you know they named themselves after me. Because, wait a minute, because my name's not pronounced Denzel. My name's pronounced Denzel.
Oh.
I'm Denzel Jr. My father's Denzel Hayes Washington Sr. I'm Denzel Hayes Washington Jr. My mother would say, Denzel, and we both show up. So she said, from now on, you're Denzel. That's how it got pronounced, Denzel.
Oh, that's smart.
She said, you're Denzel. Now, you're Denzel and you're Denzel.
Now we know. All right. A couple of other football notes coming into the weekend here. The U of R Rams are having their home opener against the Bears. The Golden Bears at Libel Field tomorrow night. The Thunder play Saturday. They're undefeated, hosting their rival, the Hilltops, who are 2-1. 7 o'clock at Mosaic on Saturday in the Prairie Football Conference. And our Pats, both Maddox Schultz and Liam Pugh were on the first line last night in Swift Current. They lost 2-1, but Maddox did get the goal. What a sniper of a shot, too, if you see the replay. And Liam had assisted on that, too. They play tomorrow night in preseason action over at the Brandt Center against the Wheat Kings.